This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Oh, yeah. You're not going to get a guttural scream dropping a series to the Marlins of Miami, everybody. But we will be here today and try to entertain you, at least. Here we are now. Entertain us is the kind of the rallying cry of the Tier 1 out there. Good morning, everybody. Get our heads right anyway. Nice long 5-hour discussion of the San Diego Padres coming up today. Definitely don't wake up in a diarrhea panic about it every Thursday and lay in bed and stare forlornly at the ceiling, you know, especially after a Series L. That totally doesn't happen at all. No anxiety involved whatsoever. But welcome in, everybody. Happy Thursday to you. I'm Woodsy. That is Paul Randall, the executive producer of the program. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great. Our cameras are really, really fuzzy. Technical
internet issue.
It's internet today?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's always something.
It's literally always something. I'm sure it'll work next week when I'm in Hawaii. No problem. I'm sure it's going to be smooth sailing.
Printer's out of paper.
Yeah.
The internet doesn't work. Our pets' heads are falling off.
Look at this. I mean, we are as blurry as can be. This is like Ben and Woods after 16 drinks right there. You look a little bit clearer.
I look great.
Paulie looks fantastic. Ben Higgins is your friendly neighborhood sports anchor. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Just counting the days until we can get this trade deadline over with.
It's maybe the most it's like how many days left? We've got
1 week.
1 week
today.
It's like 7 days of roundtables, 24-hour-a-day roundtables. Just watching the speculation.
The rumors really started to ramp up yesterday.
Yeah, and it's the rumors, but it's also Joe Blow's fake trade proposal that makes my hair fall out. It's like, yeah, man, we're going to give you Leo Dallas DeVries for Marcelo Zuna. You know what I mean? Yeah, no problem. No problem. Should we throw in Jackson Merrill in there just to sweeten the deal for you as well? It just gets old. It gets tired. Everybody has sources. Nobody has sources. Just got to kind of take it all with a grain of salt. And it will be interesting, man, in a week's time to know what the San Diego Padres look like, certainly. But listen, we've got, like I said, we've got 5 more hours to talk about the San Diego Padres and their offensive ineptitude. It was a pretty rough one, a rough series against the Marlins. I won't be doing a lot of hat tipping today. You can if you want to. I won't be doing a lot of hat tipping. I think, you know, at some point you guys got to figure it out how to hit the baseball and score runs. You're a better team than the Marlins, and you have to show that. And those were big, big L's the last 2 days. So we'll talk about that, all that entails. But I got to tell you guys, man, what is your policy? What are your policies on ripping a company via Twitter? Because you know I'm pretty staunchly against it. I don't really like when people do it. I think sometimes it's performative. Now I'll rip stuff on Twitter, mostly music. But like, if something happens, let's say you go to Subway and you get a bad sandwich. Hey, Subway, this sandwich was terrible. I'm very much against that.
I agree. I don't think that that's the platform to air your grievances necessarily. Your experience may be outside of the norm. I mean, if you're hearing like lots of people having the same complaints and you want to kind of show solidarity with other people, like,
yes, hey, this happened to me.
This also happened to me, and I want to support you. That's one thing. But if you had a one-off bad experience, that can happen anywhere. And it might not even be the company's fault. You got to give them a chance to make it right behind the scenes. You know, maybe you did already, but I don't think that that's a great way to go about it. Now, that being said, I've seen people like at Southwest Airlines, and they'll come back, you know, online with their customers and say, try to make, you know, help you out if you've lost some luggage or whatever. Is this about losing luggage, by the way?
Indeed it is,
my friend. It might be.
Indeed it is about lost luggage. Now, it's very hypocritical. Not everyone has a radio platform that they can come on and, I don't know, rip British Airways a new massive new a-hole on the air. And I understand that. So Twitter is their radio platform, in essence. But I'm going to do that here. Now I'm going to take the time here. I'm not going to do it on Twitter because, well, I'm so morally correct. But I will rip them an absolute new one right here on the radio airwaves this morning. It's been 3 days. I have no luggage, and which is fine. Things happen. Mistakes happen. Bags get forgotten. Happens all the time. Zero update. And I mean zero update. They made me fill out this massive form. And okay, so just click this link, sir. We'll be feeding you updates throughout. Once we locate your bag, once we track your bag, once we ship your bag, once your bag gets on the plane. Here's the other bad part. So finally, I said, enough's enough. I haven't heard anything. 2 days ago, I called. Get it into a call center. Guy asks me, he's like, look, the good news is, sir, your bag isn't lost. We haven't lost your bag. Okay. Well, I don't have it. No. Your bag hasn't been lost. It will be located. I said, oh, okay, so you're pretty confident. He goes, yeah. And he goes, hang on. So he puts it in the reference number, starts looking around. He goes, great news. It's at San Diego Airport. What? I go, oh, fantastic. I go, so should I tomorrow after work drive down to the airport? Because it's, 20 minutes from where I work. And I'll just grab it. Oh, no. It's a whole different process to do that. It's already in this one process. I would need to leave several notes. So don't do that. We'll get it out to you in the next 24 hours or so. Oh, okay, so it has been found. Yes, it's been found. Okay, great. So yesterday, get home, looking around. Babe, anything come for me? No. Okay, log on to the website again. Nothing. Hasn't been logged. Nothing. Hasn't been found in route, in transit.
But they're just telling you.
They told me it was at the airport. So yesterday, Paulie, I called back. Been pretty calm to this point. Get on the phone and say, hey, man, I didn't tell him anything. I just said, let's start this process over, basically. Gave him the reference number.
I like that strategy, though. Don't tell him. Don't give them any preconceived notions of what they've already told you. Let them dig their own grave on call number two.
Call number two, yeah. And he did. He's like, well, sir, at this point, we don't know where your bag is. And I go, oh.
Interesting.
Is that right? Sir, he says, yeah, apparently it didn't get on the plane in Manchester when you checked it in. I said, okay. I go, well, that's weird because I talked to a guy in your office yesterday that told me that it's at San Diego Airport and I couldn't come pick it up because it's a big, big hassle. Oh, I'm so sorry. I go, so was he just trying to buy some more time? He goes, yeah, I think that's probably what he's trying to do.
Oh, my God.
So at least he was honest, right? So at this point, man, no one has my bag. I have no idea where it is. I have and so I'm sitting there this morning. I'm like, I need to shave. And I reach down to get my razor out. I'm like, it's in my bag.
I was going to ask you, what's the thing other than your Fabergé egg collection that you miss the most that's in your luggage right now?
Probably my Rolex that I put in there for sure.
Right.
Like, I have this on record. Yeah. My Omega Rolex. I don't know why I didn't wear it on the plane. I just threw it in there at the last second.
The loose diamonds you threw in.
Loose diamonds. Oh, my stacks of... I had it was a trip. I took $35,000, $40,000 cash with me.
I just put
it in there. So it's a real bummer that I don't have my Rolex, my eggs, and my cash. It sucks. It really sucks. Those Michael Jordan game-worn Air Jordans from his first game. Those were in there. I wanted to take them to England. Oh, the guitar that Noel Gallagher gave me, the signed Liam Gallagher picture. So anyway, I honestly, dude, the thing I'm missing the most is my toiletries. I'm missing my DOP kit. All my gear is in there. All
technically
my stuff.
Somewhat replaceable. In the big scheme of things. But inconvenience.
Benny, I got medication in there that I need. That's not there. Clothes that I had just gotten for my birthday, like these really great pants my wife bought me that I took and I love. And, I can replace. It's just stuff at the end of the day. None of this is going to kill me. None of it's going to kill me. It's just a bit of an inconvenience, but it was just funny, man. Like, these guys, you got to get your story straight. I feel like if you're a company, you guys need to get your story straight. You need to update the notes in the computer.
Paulie's gifts.
Paulie's gifts.
That's right. Yeah.
Paulie's gifts are in there.
Come on,
dude.
British Airways, figure it out.
So I don't know. I don't know really what's going to happen. He's like, can you please give us, 24, 48 more hours? I go, all right, man, I'm going to give you guys till Friday. But what am I going to do? Hannah goes, the worst part of all this. She goes, because we're leaving again on Monday for another trip. I have no suitcase. that's my big suitcase. It's my good travel suitcase.
Crap.
So she goes, you're going to have to go buy all new stuff. save the receipt, submit them. I go, they won't just cut me a check for what I say is in there? She goes, no, it's not how it works. I go, so I gotta go out and buy the shoes that were in there, buy the pants in there, buy the belt, buy the toiletries, then submit my receipts to British Airways. So I got it. They made it so hard on me, and now they're going to make it doubly hard on me just to get back what's mine. Now, what I was thinking in my mind originally, I'm like, you guys stroke me a check for $5,000. We'll just call it a day, which would alleviate some of the double that I paid for this thing anyway.
I don't know that's how they work.
It's not, Paulie. It's not how it works. I know it's just going to be a bigger hassle. But so my luggage is gone. I have no idea where it is. But I did refrain, and I was proud of my restraint yesterday from not going online like our beloved Adam Jones did a couple days ago, ripping British Airways. I was like, now I feel like I need to go weigh in on his post because that means I'm not the guy that did it.
So... Obviously, at some point, the airlines decided that a couple of stolen bags really wasn't worth the hassle. Remember, it used to be you had to, like, match your tags, and someone would, like, check you out from the baggage claim area.
Right. You're
like,
absolutely
to make sure
right,
that you
man.
Were taking the right bag.
Back in, like, the 80s and stuff, I remember you had to show the thing. And
now you just hand it over and hope to God it
now
shows up.
The only, I guess, security against someone else taking your bag is that you might see them grab it. There's security cameras that they could probably go back and look, hey, that's my bag that this guy's taking. But there's nothing stopping anyone from just, you know, turning it into a department store and, you know, hey, surprise luggage coming down the aisle. I don't see anyone grabbing this one. I'm taking it and leaving and seeing what I come up with.
Yeah, I need to get an air tag in my luggage.
Oh, you've inspired me.
Yeah,
to
good. I hope that's really the point of this is to inspire the audience to.
I don't know if that wouldn't be more frustrating though.
You call them, you know exactly where it is.
Yeah, no, I'm looking. It's at Heathrow Airport somewhere. You know, can you find it? Because I can't get back there and look for it.
Yeah.
So
it's peace of mind of like it's peace of mind.
You would
knowing.
Have been able to. You would have been in the air. Even you could have checked on your phone and saw. Why
soon as I landed.
It's in Sweden. Like, right. What? How did that happen?
Yeah, I hope it gets back. Hope it gets back in
so
time.
So either it's in San Diego or it never got on the plane
in
Manchester.
No, the guy yesterday told me they have not even, it's never got on the plane in Manchester. So I've gotten two different stories from two different guys. Chris says, get ready for a voucher on a future flight and possibly a free drink. I'm not going to England maybe ever again. So they're like, you know, if we lose a customer, we lose a customer. Because I don't know how much more, unless Led Zeppelin gets back together and they play their hometown, I don't know when I'm going to go back to England anytime.
Maybe the Padres will play a London series. We can go watch that baseball there.
So, yeah, man, the AirTag is a good idea. So, again, use my misery for your gain and for your power and to do things the right way. So, yeah, pretty tough scene out there for your old pal Woodsy. But I'll be okay. I will rebuild. I will replace everything in there. At some point, I'll figure
build
it out.
Build back better.
Build back better. Yeah, that's exactly right. Exactly.
Well, I'm sorry that you've had to go through this.
It's
kind of a
no big deal.
Crappy 50th birthday present from the airline.
No, man. Listen, it's all just small potatoes when you think about the bigger picture. You know, my pops had his surgery yesterday.
How'd it go?
They had to cut him a little bit more than they wanted to, but my mom said he was in a lot of pain. He's the ultimate boomer, man. No, I don't need any pain meds. I'm fine.
Oh.
And the guy told him yesterday in the hospital, hey, buddy, we don't give out medals here for not taking your pain meds. Like, well, you just had major surgery. Take the pain meds. And in my mind, I'm like, what are you afraid of getting, like, hooked or something? You're, like, 70 years old. Like, you take the pain meds. Get through this thing and come out.
Everybody must get stoned.
So I love you, Dad. I don't know if you're listening or not. I hope that you're feeling better.
Do you worry he's going to get hooked?
Maybe. But it's scary about such things. It's possible.
Nowadays,
I mean, look at his two kids he raised. You know? So like, I kind of get it. But
is it possible he's like, you know, it'll be less expensive if I don't take optional meds.
You don't get a discount, dude, on that. So he don't be a hero. Just do. Here's the thing. Do what the doctors and the surgeons tell you. You know, if they tell you take this, it's gonna make you feel better. Take it. But I love you, Pops. I hope you're feeling better. Yeah, I was a little worried yesterday. Talked to my mom. He had something with his eyes, too. Like, his eyes were in a lot of pain. The adhesive that they tape your eyes down got in his eyes or something. So he had a rough one, man. Mm-hmm. He had a really rough one. So thinking about him today, certainly. And, you know, it certainly does, it puts things in perspective. That's what it always does. You know, we've got our health here. Hopefully you out there have your health. And, you know, hopefully my dad gets through this and is swinging the golf club again real soon.
I'm just hoping I get through today. Got a long one.
Yeah, buddy. You have a real long one.
We're here until 11 through the roundtable this morning, and then I go to work at Channel 10 like I normally do. But tonight, I'll go straight from work. It's the Best of UT Fan Choice Awards dinner. So we'll find out if we won any prizes that were voted on by San Diego's readers of the Union Tribune. Best radio show, best morning drive show, best sports radio show, best TV sportscaster. Lots of categories that I feel like I'm going to go up and I'd be kind of disappointed. But
this is going to suck if you go. Your boss asked you to come, which leads me to believe that he or she has paid the fare to get in. You know,
We bought a table.
Bought a table.
Yes.
Ben, we'd like you to accompany us. That would make me feel excited.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Based on the fact that we know how it works now. Pay for play. And so that would make me excited. We don't have one here. So I'm assuming they're going to be like, well, I mean, these guys aren't here. Let's give it to...
They're not going
to
know you work at 97.3 and Channel 10.
They're going to see at the Channel 10 table. It is possible to know that I'm the same person that works for both.
It is possible.
I will be there, but...
But we didn't pay the freight.
Now, we did win one year when we didn't go, correct?
Yeah, correct.
So it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if no one buys the table, they have to give it to someone.
Well,
that's your chance to win.
If you win, please text us. Keep us in the loop on that. So you got to go to like a gala tonight.
Yes.
What are you wearing?
I brought a jacket and a different shirt, and gonna go summer, but not formal, but not casual.
Like, okay, no tuxedo,
no
suit.
I mean, it's just at the Marriott Mission Valley. I don't think it's televised or anything with like.
I don't even think it's web streamed.
Big orchestra.
Who's the red carpet host? Do you know? It's no Mario idea. Lopez.
Live from the 75th annual Best of Awards.
Here's your host, Conan O'Brien.
I don't think that there's
Comic-Con
like
is
that.
In town this weekend. There could be a huge celebrity appearance.
Who's the who's the musical guest tonight? Who's playing? Foo Fighters are here. Foo Fighters. Yeah.
Buckingham Knicks.
Buckingham Knicks. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a long one, buddy.
Yeah.
It's a real... What time do you think you get home tonight?
I don't know.
Like 11?
No, I mean, it starts at like 6:30, so hopefully by 9:30 or so. But then I get home and I'll still have to put together some Padres highlights for the 11 p.m. news and then... You know, maybe do some prep for this show in the morning.
Don't worry about it. It's Friday. Right, we'll let it loose.
Friday, Shilty Friday. We'll
be fine tomorrow, a jam-packed show tomorrow. It's going to be incredible. That being said, I looked at the forecast for St. Louis, and I have to say...
They keep saying, like, everyone, all the players, the broadcasters go, it's going to be really hot. Is that what you're hearing?
98 degrees with 90% humidity.
Oh.
98 degrees with 90% humidity. On what planet?
What
on what planet? That's like Mars or something. Like on what planet are you going to be able to go out and play a 4-game set in 98 degrees?
That is disgusting.
With 90% humidity. How do you do it there? How do you sign there? How do you play there? Like, oh, it's just summer in St. Louis. Like, it's so excruciating. You know who I feel bad for is. Like, what did Xander Bogaerts do on the plane? Because he cramps a lot. Is he just, like, shoveling like bananas down? Like, hey, you have to eat 14 bananas before the game tonight and drink this giant vat of
at
salt water.
At least the
water.
First 3 games are all night games, but yeah,
it's
like,
still,
Sunday's
I
a
mean,
day
it's,
game, too.
It is hotter than fish grease out there, too. So, I mean, Schilt's going to be like, I love it. This is my favorite. This is how I grew
home
up.
Home sweet home.
Home, sweet home. Sweet home, St. Louis.
How fantastic is that?
It's great. It's great. So, but listen, no excuses. You got to go out and beat this middling Cardinals team, just like you needed to beat that middling Marlins team.
Yeah, Cardinals are scuffling. You want to kind of deal a knockout
blow.
It
was a crappy series loss, and Don't let it become a trend.
Bro, you have to get on that plane losing 2 or 3 to the Marlins. Like, well, at least we're flying into the inferno of hell to go play 4 games. Oh, by the way, against Sonny Gray tonight, who's you've never beaten ever. So, yeah, man, it's a tall order, but... We're gonna see if these guys can take the heat, literally.
We also have a pretty busy show for you today. We will set the menu, tell you what we've got coming up here between now and 10 a.m. right after Kelly's first check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. All right, first half of the show today, tons of Padres talk. We'll have our crap up of an unfortunate game, a winnable game against the Marlins yesterday, but they could not seem to solve Sandy Alcantara. We'll go through the highlights with Jesse and Tony. Plus, the rumors were flying yesterday, including lots of talk about Dylan Cease possibly being part of the sell plus buy strategy for the Padres at the trade deadline next Thursday. We'll discuss some of those rumors, how realistic they seem, what you think about them coming up here in the first half of the program. We'll also have Don't Do This, and we're moving the Rindle Report up early with some other headlines at 7:35 as well, MLB news and notes, because in the second half of the show today, we are jam-packed. It is Smart Baseball Thursday. Eno Saris from The Athletic is going to be with us. He wrote a piece yesterday about how the Milwaukee Brewers may have unlocked some sort of like secret formula that could be very, very successful for them potentially in the postseason. We just saw them sweep the Los Angeles Dodgers, their entire season series. The Brewers also have the best record in the National League against winning teams. They may be for real. We'll talk to Eno about that, the trade deadline, and more. And then in a 9 o'clock hour, we didn't have a Major League Wednesday guest.
But yeah,
Greg
Big
Vaughn, because we had a Big League Wednesday because we were a short show. But Greg Vaughn is going to be with us.
So it's a Big League Thursday.
Former Padres outfielder, and he's going to be at the golf tournament we're going to be at on Monday. But we were just talking beforehand. Greg Vaughn, of course, was a major trade deadline piece the Padres acquired from the Brewers in 1996. And, you know, it turned out 1998 to be the star of that season with 50 home runs. But 96 was tough for him coming from Milwaukee to San Diego. And we'll talk with Greg about his memories of that trade deadline and more from his time with the San Diego Padres. In-season Sam, he's also going to join us that hour. He's going to be with us for the roundtable as well for his weekly visit. So we got a lot of guests in the second half of the show, a lot of Padres talk in the first half of the show, and we're going to kick it off when we come back by debunking one of the rumors we heard yesterday on the program. That is all coming up next with Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. GEG-000466. For a full list of games and rules played at 7 Mile Casino, visit 7milecasino.com.
First up, though, 6:25 on a Thursday morning. If you wanted to, you could be headed down to 7 Mile Casino right now. It's one of San Diego's 24/7 options. If you got the overnight shift, you're just getting off work, you need to unwind for a couple of hours, yeah, 6 to 8 a.m., go sit down at a card table, play a little California-style blackjack, Texas Hold'em poker, have a meal. You know, some people don't want breakfast. They still want dinner at this point. You can get that from the 24/7 Players Menu at Sammy's.
Yeah, order off the Players Menu because you are a player, no matter what anybody tells you. You're a player, all right? Maybe it's a good place to go kill some time while you wait for your baggage to land at San Diego Airport. You know, there's a lot you can do at 7 Mile Casino. It's a smoke-free environment, really, really great place, really clean, easy to park. I mean, I know it's a little thing, but it's easy to park and it's easy to find and easy to get to. That's what I like. That's really, really the best part about 7 Mile Casino is ease of use.
And by the way, we just talked about the heat. When you drive out to the other casinos and card rooms, even if it's just for a few minutes, you're dealing with the hot weather. Your car is probably going to be an inferno when you get back out. Sitting right there on San Diego Bay, you're not going to find a cooler spot in town with a beautiful patio overlooking Coronado, the Bay, the K's, and the Silver Strand. Check it out today. Just hop on the 5, head south to Chula Vista, 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from downtown. Well, look at who's now appearing on video, clear and in high definition. There you are, Woods.
I made it.
He is in our YouTube stream.
Finally.
Welcome back. So yesterday we spent a good deal of time talking about the reported rumor from Hector Gomez that the Padres were like close on a trade to acquire Marcell Ozuna from the Braves. Even had names going back, Francis Pena and Ryan Burgert. And we thought, well, I mean, you know, he's been right before. He's been wrong before, as most of the baseball insiders are. As the day went on, though, you started to kind of feel like this wasn't really a true rumor. And then Mark Bowman, who is the MLB.com beat writer for the Braves. Now, maybe he's wrong as well, but, you know, as a beat writer there with Atlanta and talking to everybody involved, he said, according to my sources, and I'm assuming he's got pretty good Braves sources.
Alex Anthopoulos.
The Braves and Padres haven't had any discussions of just, any kind.
Just make stuff up, dude.
About Marcelo Zuna.
Like he would be the AJ Cassavell of Atlanta. Like just, he is there every day, connected, he's talking to people.
He's not going to tweet that without doing some due diligence and feeling fairly confident that he's not, you know, pushing someone's agenda. So that just appears to be a completely false trade deadline rumor.
At this point, man, all of them are. They're all false. I know that there's, you know, whispers. And the thing about being a Padres fan and covering the Padres is you're connected to everyone. Every single player that's out there, A.J. Preller has probably kicked the tires on. And I would imagine that a lot of GMs have called A.J. Preller to kick the tires on a lot of guys that that we have currently on expiring contracts. I'm sure Luis Ariz has been mentioned. I'm sure Dylan Cease has been mentioned. I'm sure Michael King has been asked about. I'm sure Jackson Merrill's been asked about. I mean, you know, you call and you ask and see. You know, you never know what could be a potential problem for another team. We just saw Rafael Devers with 8 years left on his deal be moved to the San Francisco Giants. So it never hurts to ask, certainly. We saw, you know, what happened in basketball last season with Luka. Just call. Make the ask. You never know what the guy, yeah, you know what? He actually is kind of a pain in the balls and kind of hates it here, and he's going through this and that, and yeah, we'll unload him. I mean, you just never know. And A.J. Preller doesn't leave a lot of those stones unturned.
And just like the Marcell Ozuna rumors yesterday, I wouldn't immediately assume Dylan Cease is going to be traded, because I don't think that is necessarily the case. However, I do believe that it is a possibility.
I do, too. It was a little odd, and Ray had a great tweet in a great post in the chat. He said, man, like the second that Dylan Cease stepped off the mound yesterday after a pretty, you know, uneven performance for Dylan Cease, even for him this year, I would say, but a pretty uneven performance from Dylan Cease. It was like A.J. Preller sent the text, the alert. Dylan Cease is on the block.
The group chat.
We are fielding offers, let it be known, because it was like the second he got back to the dugout, boom, 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 all the usual suspects start tweeting about Dylan Cease potentially being moved.
I do see some dots that can be connected, though, when it comes to not only trading Dylan Cease, but who else the Padres could be acquiring, and we'll talk about that coming up. First, though, let's get into yesterday's game. Early one, right after we got off the air yesterday morning. Frustrating one. Get to our Padres crap up right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame. It's a shame if they lose.
You got a problem. Problem.
A shame indeed.
I couldn't agree more.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
What the heck happened?
Are you kidding me?
Can't even believe it.
It's the Padres
crap up,
presented by Hamul Casino. Things are about to get real with the all-new Hamul Casino Resort. With gorgeous rooms and exciting new eats and drinks, it gets real this summer at Hamul Casino Resort, the player's place.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt, and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
Lined it to center field. That'll get down to the base hit. Edwards rounding third. He'll score easily. Merrill's throw goes into second base. It's an RBI single for Agustin Ramirez, and the Marlins take a 1-0 lead. And the pitch lined into left field. That's down to the base hit. Ariz rounding third. He'll come in to score. Stowers fires to second base. Manny will hold up. It's a game-tying RBI single, and we're 1-1 here in the fourth. And it's ripped in the air up the right field line. Fernando at the wall turns to watch. Gonna go into the bullpen in right field for Jesus Sanchez. His ninth of the year. What an at-bat. Got a curveball he could handle. And a two-run homer to give the Marlins a 3-1 lead. The 0-1, Iglesias hits it hard the other way. Fair down the right field line and into right field, a base hit. Merrill comes in to score. And once again, Jose Iglesias goes the other way to drive in a run. And it's 3-2 Marlins here in the eighth. The 1-1 offering. Xander lines it the other way into right field. Sanchez charging, and he gets there to make the catch. That'll end the game as Calvin Fauché, the San Diegan, works a 1-2-3 ninth inning to pick up the save. And hold on for a 3-2 2 win to take this series 2-1.
He looked like the Sandy Alcantara that, has won more of the Cy Young, Sandy. He was really good. All three arms, really good. I mean, really, all their starters were fantastic. Perez, Cabrera, and Sandy today. And I thought Sandy was really good. More command of the baseball. Everything was coming out a little easier for him, and it was going where he wanted. I thought he threw the ball exceptionally well.
It's not wrong. Sandy did throw the ball well. I got some texts from Adam in our thread yesterday, like, did you see how bad Sandy Alcantara was his previous four starts? Yeah, he was really bad. Did you watch him today hitting 100 and nasty movement? And I mean, the guy, if you had no idea what his ERA was, you'd look and you'd think, okay, that guy is really one of the best pitchers in the league, as he was a couple of years ago. He's throwing well. Also, the Padres have the same issues that they have had and we have talked about ad nauseum for weeks. Bottom of the lineup, Trenton Brooks getting too many at-bats in key situations as a pinch hitter with seemingly no possibility of getting a hit. Same issues that the Padres have had come back and haunt them in a pair of one-run losses that cost them a series in Miami.
Listen, you're going to be the get-right team for guys like Sandy Alcantara, Brandon Pfaadt, who Adam also mentioned. You're going to be the get-right team until you get those offensive numbers up. Is it a symptom of Sandy Alcantara being really, really good, or did he miraculously? It's weird. It's a miracle that these guys find their stuff against the San Diego Padres. And I do think you have to indict the San Diego Padres for that as much as you have to praise Brandon Pfaadt and Sandy Alcantara, right?
If not more so. I definitely think the impetus lies with the offense, because we say this 5 days a week now.
We do. Man, we really do.
They ran into a really tough pitcher yesterday. I'm like,
the old buzzsaw!
You can't run into a really good pitcher and just tip your cap every night without finally taking a step back and going, maybe it's just this bottom third offense.
I thought you were going to say the bottom three. And I'm tired of picking on the bottom three of this. I'm tired of picking on Trenton Brooks. Right?
I honestly feel bad for Trenton Brooks.
I do too. Guys, I mean, he's got no business really being there, but that's not on him.
Right.
He goes up there and tries to get a knock the one time in a clutch situation
Hey, Brooksy, grab a bat here in the ninth. And he can't say no.
Right.
He has no business being up there.
That Schilte put him in, and Preller ultimately put Schilte in that spot to have to go to guys like that. But I mean, again, 25th in run score, 27th in home runs, 18th in OBP, 27th in slug. This is not a fearsome offense. Now, I remain impressed with the San Diego Padres that they are able to, they've clung to the raft. And that's what they've done. They've clung to it. They're not getting crushed, when they lose. They are fighting. They are a team that fights. And I do admire that. And I do enjoy watching that. But that sinking feeling, man, down 3-1 in the fifth or sixth, whatever it was, that sinking feeling of, that's insurmountable. Insurmountable. Two runs is insurmountable for this team. I hate that feeling.
There was a little bad luck. Padres had 12 hard hit balls in the game yesterday. Just what you mentioned, the lack of home runs. Padres did not hit a home run in the series.
No.
In Miami.
Got close, but doesn't count.
Got close a lot.
Doesn't count.
But close doesn't count. Jackson Merrill thought he had one.
Manny thought he had two.
Hit the ball well. Yeah, Manny thought he had a couple in the game before. Xander thought he had one to center field for sure. The guys are hitting the ball hard, but for whatever reason, whether it's the baseball, the environmental factors, they're not putting enough backspin on it, they're waiting to see, let the ball travel too much because of their line drive philosophy, they're just not getting the ball over the fence enough. And it was the difference in the game yesterday. Jesus Sanchez, hit 106-mile-an-hour line drive. Padres had four of those in the game yesterday. None of theirs left the yard, though. Miami's did for a two-run shot, and that was huge. Manny also took it upon himself to take some of the blame, as he should. A big error again, and he's now leads the league in errors. I'm not going to sit here and say
Manny's not going to alibi it.
Manny's not a good defensive player, but He's certainly not getting helped on the other side.
No. He's had some, you know, listen, some of those are on him. A lot of them are on him. A lot of them are on the first baseman. I mean, just a couple of the easier picks that you know, but Luis Arraez, again, not his fault. He's not a first baseman, right?
Like, nor is Jake Cronenworth.
Correct.
They're both kind of doing the best they can.
Yep.
Sometimes they make good plays. Sometimes they just don't pick it.
They do not
have people that are helping save some of those errors.
Poor defense you can live with if you're a team that slugs. Remember some of the great teams of all time. The Boston Red Sox were like, yeah, we'll put Manny Ramirez out left. The guy had no idea what he was doing. None. But he hit 370 with 39 bombs and drove in 150 runs. So you live with it. But when you're a team that has to win on the margins, man, the defense has to be sharp. The base running has to be sharp. The third base coach has to be sharp. All of those things. You can't have pass balls. You can't get crossed up. All of those things, Ben, it shrinks the game for you. You know what I'm saying? Like, it really shrinks your margin.
And for the Padres do those things well.
For the most part.
Which is why their record in one-run games and two-run games has been so good. But when they do anything wrong, Then you lose, like you did the last couple of games, and you lose those one-run games. Now, I'm not hovering my hand over the panic button. Two one-run losses.
No.
It's the first series loss for the Padres since we were in Philadelphia.
Correct.
And again, the Marlins have won, I think it's now like 19 of their last 27 games. They're unquestionably one of the hottest teams with pitchers who are on fire right now.
So bullpen.
It's not necessarily just the Padres going in there and, you know, doing things that every other team would have gone on there. And well, no other teams are beating the Marlins right now. They are playing good baseball. They are hot right now. And the Padres had a chance to win all three of those games, just were unable to come up with the big hit. And they were one big hit away in the eighth inning. It seemed like this is always the story. Like the last couple of weeks, Padres, when they're behind, they will put together a rally, likely in the eighth inning, where they'll get runners on, maybe score a run and get within one. And the bottom of the order will come up with runners on base. And Mike Shildt has the impossible Sophie's choice that he has to make. Do I leave in one of my horrible hitters, or do I bring in one of my horrible hitters and play the matchups? And for the most part, he's been pretty consistent. This is the Trenton Brooks card. All right, he's on the bench. He's left-handed. There's a right-handed out there. I can defend this decision.
He's due.
By bringing him in. Looks kind of hitterish up there. But he doesn't get any hits, and he didn't get one yesterday. Again, in a big spot, he popped out, and then after a Tatis single, Arraez had a chance. You know, put the ball in play as he does, but sometimes that ball carries a little too far, and ended up being an easy fly out to the center fielder.
Really tough, man. Again, Luis Arraez, you know, swinging at ball four, swinging at ball five, and I think swinging at ball six to pop out. And, you know, taking that walk there in the two-hole to get your three-hole hitter up is pretty solid.
Manny had already had a couple of hits.
Yeah.
It would have been nice to see him up in that situation.
Yeah, it's tough, man. And again,
you know, he wanted the chance at a little redemption after the error earlier.
Yep.
Didn't get that opportunity.
Yeah, it's tough. Again, I think Luis Arraez can be a very valuable part of this team. I just don't think he needs to be in the top three to four hitters. I think a five-hole slot for him is just fantastic. I really do. And I like Jackson Merrill's ABs a lot more lately.
Yeah,
and I think, okay, that's your two-hole hitter if it's mine. But yeah, man, we're just, at this point, you've tried all the different combos. It's Tatis is ice cold right now again. It's just, I feel for them because they just can't find the formula. But again, the numbers are what speak.
Gavin Sheets is kind of scuffling.
He's scuffling.
Not seeing the big Sheets bombs since the All-Star break as well.
Why don't we get the dad power, the dad strength? For the Manny didn't have. Manny was terrible after he had a kid. I kept waiting for the dad strength. It just doesn't exist in San Diego, I guess. But yeah, man. So Gavin Sheets is scuffling. Toddy scuffling again. Luis Arraez is, you know, he's swinging at balls outside the zone, which he does. He does that all the time. I think again he can be valuable. I don't think he's in the right spot. But again, they've tried all the combos. The numbers, again, 25th in run score, 27th. This is a bottom-tier offense. It's as bottom-tier as it gets. It's damn near last in the league in a lot of categories. So I don't know what we're expecting. You know, I think the hope of this offense getting hot feels a lot like 2023, thinking this team will gel at some point. Now, I like this team a hell of a lot more than I like the 23 team. There's way less ego. There's way more working together. They're grinding way harder than that team, so I don't like to make that comparison.
They're also in a playoff spot. They're in a playoff spot. That team never was
never
in a
really
playoff
was.
Spot.
Yeah.
But the final piece of the puzzle here, though, from yesterday has to be Dylan Cease, who looked in his first start to open the second half of the season. Maybe he had figured something out and comes out yesterday. Not bad, but just wildly erratic, super frustrating, inefficient, and ultimately not quite good enough to help the Padres win a game. Five innings, 96, 95 pitches, four hits, you know, three runs, just two of them earned, five strikeouts, three walks. But uncompetitive pitches. Mudd always makes a good point on the television broadcast, going, you kind of tell Cease, when he's good, his misses are close. They're tempting. They're an inch or two outside the strike zone. They tempt the hitter to try to swing at it. When he's been struggling, yeah, he'll still throw some good sliders, and he'll still blow fastballs past some hitters at 99, but his, like, 0-2 fastball is like 3 feet above the zone. It's like it's not tempting anybody, and it just adds to his pitch count and doesn't really give him an opportunity to be efficient and get out of innings. And we saw that again yesterday. And Dylan Cease now 3-10. I guess the bright side of this is, if you had told me that Dylan Cease was going to be 3-10 in late July, then I would ask, Are the Padres like 27 games under 500? I mean, are they the worst team in baseball? If Dylan Cease is 3-10, this team must be an absolute train wreck disaster. How the Padres are 55-47 when that guy is 3-10 is almost mind-bogglingly
really
amazing.
Yeah, I mean,
they've overcome that.
I said it, a few minutes ago. I'm not mad at these guys. I remain impressed. And again, I understand. Oh, I see it a lot. Like, oh, they padded their lead early in the season. So what? Those games count. They count. They're wins. You stacked wins, which is what we've been begging this team to do for many, many years. And then they've treaded water, held onto the raft ever since. Haven't really gotten going, but they're still competitive. They're still in a playoff spot. That's really, I mean, yeah, do I want them to go on a 15-20 game winning streak? Of course I do. We all do. But, are they capable of it? I'm not sure. They need a little bit more help. Will that help be the right spots to come into this lineup? I mean, who are you going to add that's going to take this offense from 25th in runs scored to 12th? Who are you going to add that's going to take this offense from 27th in home runs to 12th, 11th? You know, that those are the real powerful teams. The teams that scare the opposing pitcher. The team that doesn't let guys come in and get right against them. Guys with six ERAs and four straight crap starts. I mean, Brandon Pfaadt drove me crazy. We should have pummeled that guy. We should have pummeled Sandy yesterday. Because that's what's been happening to him. He's been getting pummeled. And for some reason, I know the reason, because our offense is bad. That's why guys are getting right against the Padres.
Nice job by Kyle Hart and David Morgan.
Yeah, for
in
sure.
Relief. Came in and kept it a close enough game where they had a chance. And if you told me Cease, Hart, and Morgan are gonna pitch the entire game, give up three runs,
you lose by one.
I'd say that's a good formula for winning. You have to find a way to score four runs. You're not asking the impossible of an offense to score four runs.
Yeah.
You're asking kind of the bare minimum for a good offensive performance.
Yep.
Get to four. It's been the magic number for the Padres this year. And the pitching was good enough to win that game yesterday. Absolutely, the pitching was good enough. Got to find a way to get to four runs. And if the Padres do that, they'll be in good shape.
Let's talk a little bit more about the trade rumors that went down yesterday.
Has Dylan Cease made his final start?
Is that it?
Was that it for Dylan Cease in a Padres uniform? We will discuss that coming up next to kick off hour number two of Ben and Woods. It is Thursday, Throwback Thursday, on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.